Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Artist Rolando Briceño has a career that goes back almost 60 years. The San Antonio native studied in New York and lives and works in the Alamo City. His works are included in major museum collections at the Brooklyn Museum of Art and the Corcoran Gallery in Washington, D.C. His public art can be seen across Texas and New York, and his art is also part of private collections around the world. Briceño's work is also highlighted in the publication Moctezuma's Table, Rolando Briceño's Mexican and Chicano Tablescapes. Tablescapes and food are the center of Briceño's first retrospective at San Antonio's Centro de Artes Gallery. Dining with Rolando Briceño, a 50-year retrospective, features 75 works that focus on the unifying aspect of food, both literally and metaphorically. We met with Briceño at the gallery on a recent afternoon, where he talked to us about his career before walking us through some of the highlights of the exhibit. Tell me a little bit about your early interest in art. Where did you catch that bug?
Well, since I was a kid, I always liked art. I always was drawing or with crayons or, you know, and my mother sent me to art school at the Whitty Museum when I was in grade school. We're the only Mexicans there. It was me, my two cousins, and my neighbor across the street from the west side would go to the Whitty Museum every Saturday and had a great time. And then we spent the whole day in Brackenridge Park. We loved it.
And so, you know, a lot of kids like to sort of doodle and draw, and that kind of goes away as they get older. How come it stayed with you?
For a little while, short while, maybe when I first went to high school, I went to Central, and they didn't have art. But we took Saturday classes. My friend Roland Mazuka also went to Central, was the neighbor across the street. He discovered this artist, and she actually was educated in Mexico. And so she taught us all about the muralists, because we used to go to Mexico every year for a vacation. And I learned about art by going to the colonial churches, all the Baroque art and the paintings and everything, and then I really liked it. Since I was a kid, I wanted to be an artist. After I graduated from high school, I got a... It was the 1970s, so in those days, if you're a minority, had good grades, there was a lot of opportunities. I had three full scholarships, and I chose the one to Cooper Union in New York City.
Briceño managed to eke out a living as an artist in New York before deciding to come back to San Antonio.
My parents were getting really old, and then the prices of the apartments in New York was really skyrocketing. Because, you know, artists need a big space. You have to have a studio. So it got real expensive, and I just could barely afford it. So I decided to come back, you know, be with them more and help take care of them. And it was so much more economical. And I had a gallery in New York, so I thought I could live in San Antonio real cheap. Every year, every other year, go to New York, have a one-person show, I've got it made. Just then I was packed up to leave. My dealer had a heart attack and died. What can you do? I just kept going, and I can't complain. You know, we came in with my husband, became my husband later, Angel Rodriguez Diaz. He's a Puerto Rican artist, passed away already. We bought a building here, and we rented it out, and that's how we paid for the mortgage. And later on, that we bought another building, and I just sold it. So we bought it for nothing, sold it for $1 million, so can't complain about anything.
The retrospective at San Antonio's Centro de Artes has food and tablescapes as its central theme. Briceño says the concept came to him while getting his master's at Columbia University in New York.
I was looking for my style or what I was going to try to do. And I came upon the table as my symbol. It's like a locus of community or a secular ceremonial center. And because I grew up in a traditional household where you would eat together three times a day. So for me, the table became my focus. And at first I abstracted it because I was educated during the time of minimalism. So you couldn't do the figure at all. Oh, my God, it was like a big sin. So I abstracted the table like crazy. And then later on, I started with the Mexican food, the Moctezuma's table. I really like anthropology. And I was reading some stuff of Sahagún, you know, the Fray Bernardino Sahagún, all the things he wrote after they realized it. They burned all the books. And so they realized that was a big mistake. So he gathered these people who were alive before the encounter, and asked them all these questions. Well, recipes came out also. And then there's a documentation of the banquet that Moctezuma gave Cortes. There were three accounts. One said there were 3,000 dishes, one said 1,000, one said 300.
Wow.
So say there's 100.
It's still a lot.
It still is a lot compared to the cuisine in Europe. They didn't even have the tomato, they didn't have chocolate, vanilla, squash, corn. They didn't have a lot of stuff that came from the Americas. So they didn't have a developed cuisine. But in Mexico, under the Aztecs, even though they're fascist, they developed a cuisine, incredible cuisine. There's more dishes in Mexican food than French or Italian. Maybe Chinese has more dishes, but Mexican, it's a very developed cuisine.
Briceño starts taking us through some of the highlights of this retrospective. It becomes clear that he does not limit himself to a particular medium, like oil on canvas. The first piece he shows us is inside a glass casing. It's a miniature version of the famous Alamo made with masa, the maize dough used to make tortillas and tamales. In the last 20 years, it has since crumbled to broken pieces of masa, to where it looks like a structure in ruins.
It's masa alamo. So the alamo is masa alamo when it's made of masa, because it's acknowledging the Mexican component to it, or the Latino, the old component. You know, when the Spanish first came, they came with Indians from Tlaxcala, Tlaxcaltenos. They went travel with them all over the place. That's how the sarape happened in Saltillo and the Navajo blankets. It's their influence. They brought the metate, and they brought the nixtamal here. So that changed everything.
Another structure is also separately encased in glass. It's also made of masa. It may be recognizable to alums of UT Austin, including Briceño himself. It's the UT Austin Tortilla Tower. It's colored a deep red with red chiles. Briceño says the structure requires regular upkeep because little flower mites find their way inside and chew away at it.
You can see a little animal in there. It's a pain in the neck. You always see that white stuff. I have to take it off. And they're coated with a heavy duty, but those little animals are in the flower itself. No matter what you do, it's about 30 years old. But you have to constantly be coating it. You know, if you have flour,
you can see little critters
come
in
out.
There.
I mean, you have to put it in the refrigerator. Otherwise, they can't keep it. You got to redo that one. But it's that old. It's sold already.
So what was the purpose of the towers?
The purpose of the tower is that there's a monument in front of City Hall here that Mexico gave San Antonio. And it has the two eagles, American and the Mexican one. And it says, to the people of Texas from Mexico, the mother of Texas, something like that. The Mexico being the mother of Texas, mm-hmm. which is true. The bricks and mortar, the cement of culture of Texas is Mexican. So I make the high-rises out of tortillas.
Why not?
Another glass-encased structure made of the same red tortillas is a scale model of the World Trade Center Twin Towers that were felled by terrorists in 2001. The twin tortilla towers are made of tortillas colored a deep red with red chile. The steel-reinforced twin towers were created in 2002.
The twin towers, because I was, I lived in New York, and when that happened, I felt really bad, because at that point, all the busboys in New York were Mexican. So it's a restaurant on top. So they just disintegrated. I mean, and they were probably undocumented. Nobody even knew where they were, what happened to them, or anything. It's just gone. You know, so I kind of did this in their honor.
One section of the gallery has a decidedly Aztec influence. It's called the Moctezuma section. Briceño adapted imagery from Spanish codices into many of his works. One work, called Piri Piri, is drawn on a patterned African cloth and is colored with acrylic paints and chiles. Two pre-Columbian heads appear to be conversing on opposite sides of the cloth canvas, with chili peppers connecting their mouths as if in a dialogue. A darker figure is drawn between them. Footprints drawn on the southern border of the cloth symbolize the migration of people and food.
And piri piri is what the word they use in some countries in Africa for chilies. So, you know, the Manila galley went around the world for 200 years spreading the products from the Spanish Empire. So there's a lot of stuff, especially from Mexico and Peru, that went all over the place. So that's how the chilies got to Africa.
Briceño's works incorporate other foodstuffs, materials, and symbols to explore how the history of food traditions is tied into culture and social causes. Hear more coming up next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Today, we're talking with Rolando Briceño about his art and career. Briceño is a San Antonio artist whose selected works are collected in a 50-year retrospective called Dining with Rolando Briceño. His works not just explore the ingredients and traditions of the Mexican-American table, but capture and celebrate its history with the incorporation of materials like tablecloths and traditional food ingredients like mole, chiles, and spices like achiote. We're at San Antonio's Centro de Artes Gallery to talk to Briceño about this collection. Right now, we're in the Moctezuma section of the gallery, examining some of Briceño's works that contain Aztec and Mesoamerican influences. One work, called The First Course of an Aztec Banquet, is a blend of modern with the ancient. Two enlarged images drawn from centuries-old codices are in the background, while light and dark-skinned ancient and modernly drawn female hands exchange a cigar and a smoking stick in this first course in the banquet. The dark, flat, 2D-ish arms depict the Aztecs, and the white, more contoured arms depict the modern Anglo world. Briceño explains the first course of Aztec banquets preceded the actual consuming of foods.
This one is another to emphasize the sophistication of Mexican food. In the Aztec Empire, the merchants had to give a yearly banquet. The first course was smelling flowers and exchanging the smoking tubes. So I thought it was pretty sophisticated to be first course to smell flowers.
Wow.
And this is from copies from the codexes. So it's a style that's done flat. And then this is more contemporary or more like realism. And it's two women exchanging a cigar. And also it's the brown hand giving the white hand. In other words, just showing where it comes from, you know, tobacco also. And this all symbolizes the offering. It has to do with everything, the way the exchange had to do with a certain hand. But that's how sophisticated it was. These religions were not a fly-by-night religion. They were, like, very sophisticated. They could argue with the friars, I mean, intellectually about the religion. You know, just trying to show the Native Americans were much more advanced than what we think.
Briceño's works encompass the southwestern U.S., The 2000 work, California, is drawn on a tablecloth that already came with a kitschy map of California. Briceño made it a statement on how Mexican-American cuisine has been altered to Anglo taste to make what he calls Spanish fantasy cuisine. A white and dark-colored fist are on a collision course from two corners of the cloth. The other two opposing corners show a dark hand gently cradling a taco and a white hand holding a bag of Taco Bell. And a giant red and yellow swirl centers on California as if it were a target or the epicenter of an earthquake.
That's an interesting story. I was in Tijuana one time where the fence goes into the ocean. The water had corroded it, so there was a group of people who were going to cross over on the beach to the United States, and they were selling tacos and eating and have all this stuff going on, puestos right away. There was a hole in the fence. The Americans were coming to get the tacos through
the
hole in the fence. They wanted the food from Mexico because it tastes better than, you know, in California, they make up these atrocities, those burritos where they put the beans and the rice and the guiso and then cheese and all together. It's like, yuck. But that piece from California, that was the time when they were passing those laws, the very hateful laws. Was it 187 and 206, I think? So there's the pink hand and the brown hand fighting each other. And the other one is offering the handheld taco. That's from inspired from Through the Fence. And then on top is what the Americans, and the fast food, Mexican food, so it's in a bag, industrialized and tasteless and kind of gross.
Briceño's tablescapes, as he calls them, are drawn on tablecloths and are a blend of food, culture, history, and even quantum mechanics. One drawing from 1992 called Mesa Cotidiana, or Everyday Table, takes a bird's eye view of the table. Blue and white dishes are set around a circular table, and almost unrecognizable bananas swirl in the centerpiece, almost as if they're in motion. The sense of motion is further exaggerated by larger circular swirls drawn around the table, similar to that in the California painting.
Besides my idea of making the table a symbol of community or a gathering, you know, which is what I missed when I entered regular American culture, I also got very interested in quantum mechanics. So you see this symbol here. It's one point above two.
He points to a plate holding three tomatoes.
It's a symbol for a proton, which was discovered in 89. I like reading all this stuff. So, and they're in constant movement. So it's the atom, the nucleus, and it has the protons. Now they discovered points inside the protons, and they're always in movement.
The quarks.
These are quarks, and then the photons are in the quarks. So everything is constantly moving, and it's like a reflection of the universe. It's like mind-boggling to think about it. It's just so amazing to me that everything is made out of this movement all the time.
But I get kind of that sense of motion with the strokes.
Well, that's the motion. The whole thing is in motion, but then the bananas are really, it's kind of like for eternity, the motion of eternity. These are my dishes.
Not all the items in Rolando Briceño's retrospective are food-related. An earlier work, 1976's Chicano on the Moon, looks like a nude Chicano Jesus with a giant tattoo of the Virgin of Guadalupe on his chest and a halo or aura around his head. He's standing on a moonscape with the blackness of space behind him. In a separate small painting, that same Chicano has his hands restrained over his head by some kind of device. He's shirtless and wearing blue jeans. Blood has spilled under his feet.
So to me, since my mother told us we could do whatever we wanted to do, I thought, well, I'll put Chicano on the moon. I think we can do what we want to. That's why I did that. But then I also realized the oppression and all the history of, I mean, I'm not naive, and I like to read. I know what's going on. So this was the Vietnam War. So you know the term carne de caña, cannon fodder, the soldiers. They put the people of color and the poor whites in the front because to them it doesn't matter. They can go first, you know. So this guy has American flags, but he's like on hooks of meat. So he's the Chicano in the barrio.
And one giant sculpture in the gallery immediately draws your eye. It's a larger-than-life-size statue of St. Anthony, the saint for whom San Antonio is named. St. Anthony of Padua is normally shown holding the baby Jesus. Rolando Briceño's St. Anthony holds open a book to face the viewer. It reads, Truth in History, History in Truth. Large lily-type flowers blossom between St. Anthony and the book. St. Anthony stands atop a small upside-down replica of the Alamo. St. Anthony and the Alamo are both designed to spin head over toe. Catholics are known to pose St. Anthony upside down to help grant a wish or to find lost objects or a lost love. Briceño says all these ideas, including the spun, whitewashed story of the Alamo, come into play in the sculpture Spinning Alamo.
They would always say, you have to do something about the Alamo. Because it's not truthful, you know, it's not inclusive, it's not telling the whole truth. So everybody kept talking about it. Finally, I said, I'll just do it myself. So I got this idea, for to me, that story is a spun story. So I made this statue, and it spins. It actually goes around like that. I did a performance right in front of the Alamo. And I made a giant table to put it on, because the table is my symbol. Table of reconciliation. And it's St. Anthony. So when he comes in, he's upside down. Because when you put him upside down, it's when you want something.
Right.
And I want the truth. That's why he's the doctor of the church. So I just put truth and history, history and truth. Took out baby Jesus, and then he has the lilies, the white lilies. So, and then he's stepping on the Alamo. So at the end of the performance, he spun, and there's music going, people dancing, whatever. And then at the end, he's right side up, and the Alamo's upside down. So I'm just asking for the truth. They're redoing the Alamo now, and I hope that they do a good job. I went there the other day. There's an oversized statue of David Crockett, who's never was called Davy. He has a coonskin cap and Old Betsy, which were never here. He never wore the coonskin cap. Old Betsy was in Tennessee. This is all Hollywood. It's still too much Hollywood. You need to get it to the truth. Come on.
Briseño says Alamo-shaped piñatas were also busted open at a public display of his spinning St. Anthony in front of the Alamo a few years ago. They have a prize inside, as some visitors discovered during a recent gallery event.
When all the kids go and they finally crack it open, hundreds of brown babies come out. It's the Republicans' worst fear that we're going to take over, which we will, because numbers always went out in the end. No matter what you do, and it's not going to stop, no matter what they do, it's never going to stop. It's just part of life. That's how it is.
Dining with Rolando Briseño, a 50-year retrospective, is on display through February 9th at the Centro de Artes Gallery in downtown San Antonio's historic Market Square. Admission is free. Briseño's tablescape-inspired artworks are also paired with the words of poets, writers, scholars, and artists in the volume Moctezuma's Table, published in 2010 through Texas A&M University Press. Briseño has partnered with the San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture to produce a food-centric series of short videos with special guests on food, culture, and art. See a sample at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us today for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marian Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.